Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, focusing on mental health in racing. We're doing this on the IndyCar side to start. Hope to do more episodes on this theme, starting with my friend Gavin Ward, team principal at the Arrow McLaren 3-car NTT IndyCar Series team, team owned and offshoot the McLaren Formula One program. Gav, with very deep Formula One experience with Red Bull during the peak of their success back in the Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber era, moved over to IndyCar with Team Penske, race engineer for Joseph Newgarden. Two of them won a championship right off the bat in 2019. Hard times, though, that had struck Gavin before he came here, but especially once he got into this new and high-profile role with Team Penske. So now that he is in a absolute top leadership situation at Arrow McLaren, fascinating to hear from Gavin about the decisions he's made, areas of health care, mental health, looking after things within the team. A lot of great folks there at Arrow McLaren, but here we have a bit of a break from tradition. One of the many things that I appreciate about Gavin, motor racing, we so heavily associate it with machismo and toughness and just grind through it and bite down harder and deal with whatever it is, whether it's physical, mental pain, emotional, whatever it might be, just absolutely grind your way through it. And I appreciate Gavin saying, you know what, I've been through this. That doesn't work. You can do it, but it really does hurt you in the long run. And in a team-based environment, it actually makes us weaker. So, working from his own experiences in life, he has sought training and help here in recognizing some of the symptoms that might stand out. Other leaders within the team have done so as well. Share some deep insights about mental health, healthcare in my life, my mother. And so there's a weaving conversation here. Greatly appreciate Gavin and also Lauren Gowdy in there, VP of Communications at the time. She's now the head of marketing as well. But this is not something that most people in this sport or professional sports in general would want to say out loud for fear of how they might be treated, seen as weak, seen as soft. Indeed, this is a superpower. Having recognized it, learned to deal with those symptoms, coping mechanisms, training sought by the Arrow McLaren senior staff as well to help the entire organization. So really appreciate Gav and Lauren. Get rolling here in just 1 second. Time to say a big thank you to our show partners on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, starting with FAF Technologies, build-to-print composites manufacturing company. They're specializing in medium to large-scale automotive, motorsports, and military applications. Visit FAFTechnologies.com. It's P-F-A-F-F Technologies.com to learn more about their services and how they can benefit your business. Next, it's the Justice Brothers, makers of premium additives, lubricants, and cleaners, and servicing the automotive and motorsports industries for more than 85 years, with victories in all of the biggest North American motor races, including the Indianapolis 500, the 24 Hours of Daytona. The Justice Brothers products are truly race-proven. Learn about their vast history and range of offerings at justicebrothers.com. If you're fond of awesome motor racing collectibles, including FAF Motorsports McLaren gear and goodies, pay a visit to torontomotorsports.com. And finally, we have a new online merchandise home for the podcast, thepruittstore.com, for all the show stickers, models, racing memorabilia I'm trying to sell and put towards our fund to buy a house is now live and rocking, thepruittstore.com. So let's get going with Gavin Ward, team principal, Arrow McLaren, topic that's very near and dear to me and has been since I was a child. Gav, I love the fact that your team, you in particular, saying, you know what, that's dumb. That's not the best way. Faking, acting, and pretending that things are great if they don't happen to be, that's not the best way for us. It's not realistic either, right? No team has 100% happy people. Everything is good. Tell me about your, I guess, on the personal side, a bit of a journey towards some of the things you were dealing with and how you said, you know what, I wonder if this might be something for the entire Arrow McLaren team to consider breaking the stigma of never talking about such things.
It wasn't an easy decision by any means, but I'll talk you through a little bit of how we got to where we are. I think, you know, I grew up racing is all I've ever wanted to do since I was a little kid. This is my dream. And, you know, I've been super fortunate to get to live my dream and take part in some of the biggest races and play my little part in winning some of the biggest races in the world. But it's a high pressure place to work. I remember when I first went trackside at Red Bull, I thought, this is too stressful. It was my dream, but I'm like, this, I am so stressed doing this. I don't think I can do it. I don't know if this is something I can keep doing. And I adapted and I got better at that. And then, you know, I came to think I thrived on the pressure for a long time. And it was actually later on, you know, having gone through that and been, you know, right in the thick of it for down to the wire F1 championships or Monaco Grand Prix wins, and thought I thrived under pressure. And then I came to IndyCar and the Indy 500 and found myself, you know, certainly in a high pressure situation. I was engineering Joseph Newgarden. It was my first year as a race engineer in IndyCar. It was my first oval race engineer event ever was the Indy 500 in 2019. We were going in second in the championship. You've got a championship caliber driver at Team Penske where you're expected to fight for the win. And, you know, kind of to my surprise, I just couldn't quite handle that situation. You know, I it caught me quite off guard. So having never really, you know, I've had, you know, to be brutally honest, like, or to be perfectly open, through my life, I've had periods of, you know, feeling down or low mood or times being anxious. I think everybody goes through those. But, you know, it was the day before we started running at the open test. So the big pre-month of May running for the Indy 500. And I had a panic attack in my hotel room, you know, but I've never had one before in my life. And, you know, it was terrifying, but I didn't feel like I could tell anybody about it, you know? And I thought that it would be seen as a weakness and that I couldn't do the job. And, you know, that was a high pressure year. I was stepping into this big role, but also expecting our firstborn at that point, you know, and I'm the only, my wife had moved over and because of visa situation, she couldn't work. So I'm like the sole breadwinner and you've got all this relocation. You're kind of away from your support network. So there's a lot going on.
You've got a mountain, I think, that all kind of like mountain of pressure piling on your shoulders.
And it just caught me off guard because I was kind of like, but I got into a thought process there, which was something I hadn't dealt with in all the other high pressure situations where I was like worried that, hey, Indy 500, something that comes into your mind more than I think other racing I'd done is you worry about the safety of your driver. And, you know, that's kind of although I'd been at the racetrack for unfortunate incidents before, it just never really was part of the picture when I was working in Formula One. It wasn't really a high on your mind kind of item. And then I think also that picture of like you're supporting, you got family to support now. What happens if you screw up, you lose your job? You know, you can get into like a bit of a negative thought spiral. And it's kind of funny because I remember you fast forward to the end of that year. Well, we ended up finishing fifth, I think, in the 500 that year. You know, we qualified eighth or something like that. We finished fifth in the race, somewhere around there. We had a really successful, you know, quite a successful month of May, really. Sam Pagano won the race. You know, I was head of Vero helping lead the Aero program, I should say, at Penske. So we won as a team. We had a good showing with Newgarden. We won the championship that year. But I struggled a lot through the month of May, kind of behind closed doors, you know? And I remember thinking after we were on the plane flying back from Laguna, having won the championship, like someday I'm going to tell people about like the journey that this year's been, because it's kind of like, I think people and myself, you know, was guilty of like viewing those issues as a weakness or like something that people, you can still perform quite at a high level and maybe have these things going on, you know, at the end of the day. We won a championship my first year at engineering in IndyCar.
Everything should be perfect. Everything should be magical.
Yeah.
You should
nobody would think anything like that was going on, you know? And, but you know, there was also a positive outcome. So the month of May was hard, and that wasn't, I was kind of battling panic attacks through the entire month, going to the bathroom at the Speedway and like trying to work my way through it on my own. But, you know, off the back of that, I got some help with counseling, learned some coping techniques, you know, and actually managed to really get control of that situation, which is great. But also, it's funny because now all the stuff I learned from going through that as a person, well, for one, it made me a better race engineer. Because when it was later in that year and we're dealing with, you know, decision making under pressure and situations where, you know, maybe your driver or your team are dealing with some, you can pick up on it. You're a little hypersensitive to it, but also you've been educated, and I don't call myself a professional by any means, you know, but you've been educated on coping strategies, and at least you can kind of share a little bit. Now I didn't tell anybody at Penske what I was going through, and then maybe that's just me. Maybe I just wasn't comfortable with it at that point. You know, I wouldn't say that was like, it's because of the environment necessarily, but I certainly didn't feel like it was something I could bring up, rightly or wrongly. You know, that might have just been my own fears, I think. But so and then coming into my first month of May with this team, you know, and I've been thinking about it ever since that year. I've been thinking like, someday I'm going to tell this story, but I wasn't really comfortable with it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just a hard thing to bring up.
Also,
it's still hard to talk about now.
Yeah, it's hard to do that first day, like on your first date. You're probably not revealing all of the most sensitive things about yourself that you think someone might judge negatively. So you wouldn't be expected to come into the team and all of a sudden reveal that. But I do massively respect Gav, that in the elevation of your role, having come in as a technical engineering leader within Arrow McLaren, then being elevated to running the team, in that elevated level of influence, one of the things that came to mind to you was, now I am in a position culturally, wherever the team's at when I came in was great. But now that I'm in a position to say, you know, if I went through this, I have to believe some of the amazing men and women on your shop floor or in any of the other departments, there's got to be a couple others like me, if not more than we might suspect. So you know what? Now that I can, maybe I can start thinking about the entire mental health team-wide and ways to take what I learned and went through, and even if folks don't need it, at least having the commitment to saying, I want to open that door. That's a big thing to do now that you're in a position to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because even the day that we brought the whole team together for a huddle, before we went into the month of May. And I thought, I just sort of decided that now's the time to sort of My message to the team was really, this is a high pressure month, you know, and everybody's been working their butts off to get us into this. And I thought it was worth, I shared the story for myself and, you know, my background, and then shared kind of the team resources we have, but also kind of just wanted to encourage people to feel comfortable to talk about it. But, as again, I'm not a professional in this, but at least I thought it seemed like the right thing to do. I wasn't sure it was the right thing to do. Even afterwards, I wasn't sure it was the right thing to do immediately. I thought, well, maybe I screwed up here. Like, maybe people are going to think less of me. But what was amazing was like the number of people and the people you would never have expected to reach out that reached out after that was like absolutely gobsmacking. So, and people you just never would have guessed. And I thought, wow, this is more common and it's a bigger deal than I even thought. So that kind of gave me motivation really to do more, you know. And I think some of the people, you know, there's some people on the team that are, I think I've been really good people to talk to about this, that also kind of have always wanted to share that kind of stuff, but didn't feel like they could, or didn't want to, or maybe they're just not in the position to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a tough one. So, anyways, the team kind of looked at next steps, and the UK side of McLaren has done some mental health first aid training. And I thought that's a nice thing that I like getting more people on staff, and it shows the right direction. And, so we looked at what resources were available around here. And Jody, our director of people, and I think she found the resource we ended up using, which was a mental health first aid training group based out of Illinois.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name off the top of my head.
No, but it's an impressive... thing, having taken a look at it. You know, the mental health first aid from the National Council for Mental Well-Being, and
that's the one.
The training options, unfortunately, we're not going to be referring to you as Gavin Ward PhD any point in time here, because I don't know if you're going for your doctorate in this. The things that they do train or offer education in, whether it's from a perspective of almost like a first responder type approach, whether it's depression, yes, anxiety, you know, any suicidal ideation. I mean, they, at least for what I've read, they do offer that training for folks, again, kind of that responder or keeping an eye out role, but also just more educational things, and whether it's coping, whether it's recognizing roots of thoughts, depression, the things that rattle around in our head that go untended, that's often where problems can happen. So seeking a well-established, credentialed resource like this to educate you, other senior leaders within Arrow McLaren, and also, again, just the down filtering of this to all of the people within the organization, that's massive, Gavin. I really hope, and I'm not saying Arrow McLaren is the first, but I do hope that you aren't one of few to consider such a thing. I would hope the other teams in IndyCar and run through all the other series we know and love would consider such a thing, because I don't know what your annual budget is, Gav, for physical training, personal trainers, all the gym equipment and cardio that, right? Well, teams will spend $1 trillion if they could to make sure that their pit crews and drivers are just the perfect physical manifestations. And you go, that's awesome. Look at all the muscles, and you can run for a year straight and never break a sweat. But what are you doing to make sure the actual hard drive, the heart within those creatures, is equally as tuned to such a high level? So again, I hope this is the start of something more widespread throughout at least the IndyCar paddock that you're primarily focused on. Tell me about this adoption of this expansion into this, Gav, knowing that you're at 3 cars right now, you've got a lot of team members. Tell me about, since this became something you've onboarded, are you seeing any kind of difference on the shop floor when you're going to test at the track, when you're going to do whatever it is, in the mental or emotional state of the team collectively? What are you seeing there? Because we don't expect it to be an overnight change, but you would hope
it
grows.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it with the training kind of analogy, because another thing we brought on board over the last year is mental skills coaching for engineers and drivers as a unit. So basically get the timing stand unit working together with a mental skills coach. But going back a little bit, so what have we seen as changes? So, through the month of May, we had a great month overall. Obviously, it was a heartbreak at the end of it, but that's racing. And I warned the team that many times over that we can't be too fixated on results, because sometimes things are outside your control. So if you hitch all your contentment, all your self-esteem, everything, which I've been there, if you're on the highs and lows of motorsport like a roller coaster, it's not sustainable. And one thing we're trying to do here is, like, my vision of, like, building a kick-ass race team that does it right, you know, takes care of people, is that we want sustainable performance. We don't want to just chew people up and spit them out. We want to do this in a way that people feel like they can keep doing it and they're not burnt out. So there was that, but through watching through the month of May, although overall a really positive morale, there were moments there where I could see people who were struggling, and sometimes lesser experienced people, whether that's just they showed it more, or it's just, you know, one thing that's dawned on me is we take these kids, whether they're at a school, those technical schools or engineering degrees, and we throw them into the biggest motorsport event in the world.
This isn't straight sink or swim in a 10-foot pool. This is a 100-foot pool.
We throw them right into it, and we expect them to be able to cope with the mental side of it when that was none of their education and none of their training. And it's like when you see someone struggling, you think, well, of course they're struggling. Like, of course. Like, why are we... So whether it's a pit crew member, whether it's, you know, an engineer who's under the pressure that's immense, you know. So how do we be better at that? Well, I can't say we've solved it all. But one starting point, I think, is getting that mental skills coaching as part of our program here, which I think both helps. The biggest impact I found with that, I think we've seen benefits in consistency of mood for drivers, and we've seen benefits in quality of communication. But the biggest benefit is actually, I see, as contentment. Mm. You know, like, it's a happier with what we're doing, because learning those skills to cope with the frustrations and the pressure and all that sort of stuff, that actually makes for, like, a better quality of life. I think that's the that's the bigger impact. So that's been neat, for sure. And, but I think there's more to come. So we're planning to do more, another session of the mental health Ada First training. I think that's good. Trying to find ways that we can kind of continue to make people feel more open with going to those people who've had the training, or just having the conversations, you know, and being willing to kind of open up. I have heard feedback from a number of people that we've seen a lot more openness to talk about these things since then, which is great. As I said, you're not going to change things overnight, but I think we've seen a lot of positives. So that's good.
Share a little bit of a longer tale here, which leads to one of my last questions. And I shared this, my story with you just in a private call months ago, Gav. I've always shared this. It's never been something that I've hidden. It was my father was my equivalent of a mental health coach growing up. And it took me a while to realize that this was actually a superpower, not something to be embarrassed of. My mother passed a while ago, but she throughout her entire life was racked with mental problems. And I think the majority she was born with compared to situational things which triggered those illnesses. She's bipolar. She had multiple personalities. She was somewhat frequently suicidal. And so I grew up, it's like, I think I mentioned to you months ago, it's a bit like a kid. You often hear from a kid, maybe might be an athlete, who grew up in just abject poverty. And they tell you now that they've found success, they're so happy to be able to buy the things they didn't have, buy things for their parents, a house or other things, that they have the means. But what they come back to usually is, I didn't know any different. This is what I grew up in. I didn't grow up poor. While the rest of the world would look in and say you were extremely poor, I didn't have any other frame of reference to know. I just knew that was what was normal. And so that's what my introduction to birth was like. With my mother, who was often gone 6 months a year, maybe 9 months a year, in state mental health facilities. And so growing up with her and a lot of the problems that she had, where she'd go from being fine for a certain amount of time to trying to commit suicide, or I was too young to remember it, but trying to kill the two of us, thankfully wasn't successful. I don't share any of this in any kind of negative, oh, woe is me kind of way, but that was my life and norm growing up. And my father, when I got to be about 5 and had enough brain cells to maybe process, he started immediately with me, recognizing that if he did not intervene and pull me aside and say, hey, mom loves you, but she's got some things that are different from others, and so we're not going to see her for a while, but you're safe and okay, and I've got you. And if it was a big incident that was triggered by her, he would take time to sit me down and try and deconstruct what happened and explain that these are the roots and this is what you saw happen. No, it was scary, but just realize she's okay and you'll be okay. And he actively saw these little minefields that I could walk through that could blow up the rest of my life. Among the greatest gifts I've ever been given, Gav, was my father realizing my son could be headed for a life of misery. He's headed to prison. He's headed to an early grave. He's headed to a lot of things based on these crazy things happening to him through no fault of his own if I don't intervene. So super fortunate to have not only these things happen, even the bad things, but someone, he wasn't a professional, but he was having to deal with this as a husband, father, small business owner to keep our world on track and keep me mentally in a place where I wasn't just spiraling even at a very early age. So I've shared that throughout my career with all the various teams I've worked with, especially those who were younger when I first got into motor racing, was 16 or so, and found that for the younger ones, those who are maybe within 5 or 10 years of my age, talking about life and upbringings and such, the sharing of that seemed to land well. And this is a part of, I mean, this is a really deep part of my life. To understand me, this is not something I can hide or share. So just shared it freely. But I found the veterans, the older, the grizzled ones, didn't really want to hear it. That was me exposing a weakness, and I was often thought of as less than someone who wasn't as tough as he should be. I can tell you, a lot of those veterans, those were the same folks who smoked 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day and knocked down at least 6, if not a full case of beer each night in the hotel room. And that was their method of coping, right? Instead of dealing with whatever pressures, it was
self-medicating.
Here's a cigarette that'll soothe me, or some alcohol that will quiet those things running around in my head. I'm not criticizing those folks at all. Just saying that was, at least among many of the veterans that I worked with, they didn't want to hear anything about the mental stuff and just, you know, be tough and grit through it, but they did have their own coping methods. Curious what you've seen within your team, Gav, knowing that you do have some veterans there. You also have a lot of youth, which is pretty cool, but have you seen any lines drawn between those who might be more open to this or less open to this? Because admittedly, in my career, I'm citing things from embarrassingly 35 years ago or whatever, 20, 30 plus years ago.
Curious how
you've seen that play out here within the range of age and experience within Arrow McLaren.
Yeah, you know, I think first off, I love that you brought up how we did talk together before about that feeling, that reframing what feels like a weakness at the time to be a really now a superpower. And I've used the exact same phrasing before for myself, like whether it was some training, you know, learning to deal with your emotions, whether it's anger, frustration, depression, anxiety, and being in tune with that and being able to recognize it in others and be able to help others with it, I think that is a superpower. Mm. And for what I do now, it's a huge part of what I do. You know, this is a people game. It's about, we talk about race cars all the time, particularly engineers. We'll talk about all the geekery of engineering all the time. But when it really comes down to it, it's a people game. It's really, nothing happens without making people work well together and perform on the day and understanding that. Now, as for the sort of generational trends in age trends, I think maybe things have moved a little bit since your experience there, because that was one of the things that was more surprising to me. Is that actually some of the people that reached out to me were some of the most experienced people, most accomplished people in the team. It was everything from junior right on through to the most accomplished people in the team. I got it. There was a cross section across the board, different departments, different areas. And I was, some of the people you thought would be stiff upper lip, cold about, or perhaps dismissive even in your head about that topic, were the ones to send an email or a text message on the day. And it's like, yeah, it was really encouraging, actually. So, yeah, interesting. So maybe things are getting better. I think they are. I mean, there's more openness to that, but it's still a big issue, obviously. But yeah.
I appreciate your willingness, your amazing head of comms, Lauren. I appreciate your collective willingness to open up about this. And that's even a turn of phrase I hope will go away sooner than later. There's nothing here to, quote, open up about. But there is a genuine belief still that talking about such things involves having to go beyond the norm of comfort and acceptance. So I do appreciate you, everyone within your house there, Gav, and your particular desire as the leader of that team to step out on faith and say, okay, I could walk down pit lane at St. Pete this year or Indy, and there might be a person or two who I don't think they're going to shout anything, but might look at me a little bit differently than they did before, maybe in a negative or critical way. I'll tell you what, though, brother, owning that and saying, you know what? Okay, say it, think it, shout it. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for my tribe and my family. That's a powerful thing. So again, I'd love to do interviews like this with the owners or leaders of every racing team. So I'm hoping this isn't the first and only. This is a really important aspect to what we do. And again, appreciate y'all for stepping out on faith.
Yeah, you know, like, it's been my kind of dream to change the sport for the better by basically setting the example that other people are inclined to copy, because I think it's the right way to build a winning race team. But I also don't want to hide what we're doing here, because I want to help. You know, that influence, that's still the dream here. That's the vision. It's like, we want to be the shining example of what it is to build the best race team, and have other people copy it, if, you know, to try and come along and do that in the right way, so it's a positive impact on the whole. So I hope we can keep doing that. You know, I hope we make progress. I love getting to do this job, honestly. You know, it's a hard way to make a living in some ways, but at the same time, there's very few days where I'm not thankful. So, but it's been a journey.
Well, I also appreciate your ongoing commitment to being an influencer in running a IndyCar team while having long flowing locks. that mop of hair of yours is just, it's beauty. It almost needs a leash and to be registered with the county, but you're just IG influencer above all there, Gav, but kidding aside, appreciate you.
It took a long time to get comfortable in my own skin and be like, you know what? I'm going to be me and try and be as genuine as possible, and long hair. That's what I want right now. So that's what we've got.
If only we could get Zach and Rossi.
We want people to bring their authentic selves.
Oh Lord, you are succeeding in that. Your driver trio is a bit of a psychologist dream right there. The different creatures among Rossi, Malukas, and Pato, all beautiful and amazing. But no better evidence of the fact.
But isn't that what's awesome? I don't know. I think that's just what's you look at, and it's just, you see the drivers. But it was almost every day during the month of May last year, where I just took a moment and looked around at the people that work at this team and just appreciated the characters. Like, isn't that what's just awesome about motorsport? I don't know. There's so many wonderful people, and they are everything from hilarious to, you know, peculiar to whatever. But I think that allowing people to kind of be themselves, but working as hard as they can to try and achieve something great and having fun while they do it. I mean, it's just, it's great. So
all of my favorite memories in the sport are attached to people, not cars,
exactly,
not trophies.
Exactly.
And some of them are wild. Some of those people you're like, oh, I got to buckle in. But good Lord, Gav, you think of folks who aren't as fortunate as us to work in such a dynamic industry for so long. And between the eccentrics, between the introverts, and everyone in between, we attract some amazing people to this world of motor racing. And yeah, that means that since we're not linear in that capacity, right? The cars are, right? That engine in the back of your car, it's going to be the same engine the next race and the race after, but the people, they're the thing that are the most dynamic and can be changing on a constant basis. So that's where adding a layer like this really does help you help everyone to get to a better place.
Well, you nailed it. And I'm just going to share an Alex Zanardi quote, which I shared with the team back in August 2022, actually. It goes, you know, when you're in your 20s, you always believe that the race, that the championship is the only thing that matters. But then 20 years later, you say, oh, I remember when I was there with my mechanics, with my engineer, talking about the car, going for a pizza, going to the team, fixing my seat, spending time with the team. So you realize what really matters was the effort that you put in daily in order to build something special. Because when the championship arrives, you cannot expect to meet happiness that day. Otherwise, you don't get there. It's the process. I think that is nail on the head, but anyways. And it's people.
Thanks one final time to Gavin and Lauren. Bravery for sure. Big part of what he has done and what they're doing. Imagine that. Trying to win, become a championship winning team while saying, you know what? I have to be hard and mean and gristled and everything else. Can actually be a little more caring and accommodating of each other while raging hard and being hyper competitive to try and win. We don't have to go all in one direction. We can actually be more balanced, more caring, and more kind people. And guess what? We get better as a team if we do that. So appreciative of him and this message and the lessons and the insights that he's brought to us. One more time, thank you to FAF Technologies, the Justice Brothers, TorontoMotorsports.com. I'm Marshall Pruitt. I'll speak with you soon.